You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The streak is over. Long live the streak. And the more important thing, the Rockets won the basketball game. With that, welcome in to another happy, joyous post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat late this Monday night, the Rockets are winners yet again, their second consecutive win after that deflating loss out of the All-Star break in L.A. last Thursday. They had the statement win without James Harden on Saturday in Golden State, then followed it up Monday with a 119-111 win over the Atlanta Hawks. Harden did return, but scored just 28 points. It ends a streak of 32 consecutive games that he scored 30 or more points, which is the second longest such streak in NBA history. But perhaps appropriately, the Rockets got the win anyway because Chris Paul was magnificent, 20 points on 50% shooting, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, just 1 turnover in his 35 minutes, a team best, or a starting lineup best, I should say, plus 14. Don't want to shortchange Eric Gordon, who, returning to a bench role, we'll talk about that as we move our way through the podcast, was plus 18 with 16 points in 32 minutes off the bench. But largely down the stretch of the game and throughout, the key inflection points, Chris Paul was the guy the Rockets ran their offense through. And even on a night that James was clearly not at his best, coming off a one-game absence, missed the win at Golden State with a neck injury, suffered last Wednesday in practice, combined with the flu, Harden scored just, I'm using air quotes here, 28 points, 7 of 21 from the field. His floater game was actually fine. Also got to the free throw line 16 times and made 14 of those, but he was 0 of 10 from 3. That was the problem. Also had 6 turnovers. Harden clearly not himself, did not look as healthy as he was before the All-Star break. Well, Chris Paul picked up the slack. And really, I think that's fitting because in a season in which the streak was defined by needing to keep the Rockets alive, the Rockets, they got off to this 11-14 start, 4-7, 1-5, the numbers we've been through ad nauseum this year, and then losing Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, your second, third, and fourth best players in some combination for extended absences, and the Rockets all of a sudden being hovering near 500 far too deep into the season, needed that kind of streak just to stay alive. Well, now that all three of those other guys are back, most notably Chris Paul, who is a Hall of Famer, and as we saw Saturday night in Golden State, still can be elite, at this time, it's finally okay for the Harden streak to end because he has the help. And it's the lack of help that necessitated the streak. Thankfully, now he doesn't need it as much, the streak, that is. And Harden does need to be better than he was tonight. 0 of 10 from 3 isn't going to cut it most games, but I think we understand he's not himself. Every day that passes, he'll get more improved from his neck injury in terms of his medical status. I think a lot of what he's going through, they mentioned it being painful to sleep. I don't know how much it's an injury that playing on it really affects it all that much, because it's not like he takes that much contact on that area. It's not like a knee injury, an elbow, a shoulder, something like that, to where you're constantly taking a pounding, or in the case of a leg, putting it through stress, starting and stopping. With a neck, what's really going to heal it is time, and I feel pretty confident, given his status and given the fact the Rockets with Chris Paul just hit a big win without Harden, I don't think they'd put their MVP in harm's way if they thought that he was making himself worse as they head down the stretch to the playoffs. I think it's just something that ultimately is going to take some time to fully heal. Thankfully, the Rockets do have a game off before returning to action Wednesday night in Charlotte. And if anything, I think we should be thankful for the fact that somehow Harden kept the streak alive last Thursday in Los Angeles, putting up 30 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds, and 46% shooting even the day after suffering that injury. That's how ridiculous he is, and of course, that's the game they got to 32, the second longest streak, setting the mark for that in NBA history of games with 30-plus points. So, salute to James. He got to second all-time, and really, I'm fine with this streak ending. at 32 because the odds of him getting to 65, the first place record by Wilt Chamberlain, were incredibly unlikely. That was a generation ago. It's tough to imagine anyone doing it in our lifetimes, quite frankly. And even if James had somehow pulled it off, it wouldn't have happened until next season anyway, because there aren't enough regular season games left for him to get that record. So for it to happen after he got second all alone, basically setting the modern record, and for it to happen on a night that the Rockets won the game, that's about as smooth of an ending to the streak as you could hope for. And what I think was most impressive about it from a Harden perspective was how it ended. The Rockets won by 8, 119-111. They improved to 35-25. It's just the third time this year the Rockets are double-digit games over 500. The Hawks fall to 20-41, but they played better than that tonight. There's a lot of young talent. There's a lot of athleticism, but Trae Young in particular, 36 points, 8 assists, 8 of 12 from behind the three-point arc, several from beyond 30 feet. That was Steph Curry. That's why he was a top-5 pick. That's why he captivated the nation when he was at the University of Oklahoma a year ago. He can be that guy. He's not that efficient every night, but he has that level of talent. And if the Hawks get that version of Trae Young, I don't care if they're 20-41. They can scare a lot of teams. The Rockets just had to find a way to grind it out. And Harden, even though he couldn't make a three, he was still efficient. Again, he made 7 of 11 shots inside the arc. He also got to the free throw line 16 times, made 14 of those. So even though it was ugly, he did enough of the heavy lifting to make it worthwhile for him to go through the effort of playing. And certainly, I thought the end of the game showed you that the biggest priority for James Harden was winning. Because the 8-point margin, Harden got the rebound with 10 seconds left in the game. All he needed was 2 shots, a layup, free throws. Clearly, a 3 would have done it. And he dribbled the clock out. Because for James Harden, it's about winning the games. It has never been about the streak. The points that he's put up, it's because the Rockets needed them to win. And because he's the MVP of the damn NBA, and he takes ownership in this team as he should, especially when it's struggling and they need to win every game. That's part of why he's out there playing on a badly injured neck. I don't know how severely, but it was causing him trouble to sleep, and he said at shoot-around this morning he hadn't touched a basketball the last couple of days, so clearly he's not 100%, yet he's gutting it out there. And the conversations I've seen about him forcing it in the fourth quarter tonight, that's a joke. The shots he put up, it was a single-digit game the entire fourth quarter. They were up 5, up 4, up 5 again, up 6, up 8. He shot the ball because the Rockets, they needed to ice this game. And as evidenced by the Brooklyn game a month ago, it's never over until it's over. When it was over, up 8 with 10 seconds to go, he was happy dribbling it out even if the streak ended. That's what makes James Harden so special. The streak is a byproduct of his innate desire to win. The points resulted from all the injuries and the fact that that's what he had to do to get the Rockets to the finish line. Tonight, I'm not going to say the Rockets would have been fine without him. Clearly the 28 points mattered, and the Rockets were plus 5 in the 36 minutes that Harden played. But with Chris Paul, as mentioned, 20 points, we'll talk more about him in a few minutes, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, just 1 turnover, 50% shooting, Harden didn't have to do as much volume shooting as he had in the past. With Kenneth Faried, Clint Capella, the bigger starting lineup the Rockets went with, we'll discuss that as we move our way through the podcast. The Rockets had 18 rebounds between Faried and Capella tonight, although they did not play as much together. They did run into some issues with that. Atlanta won the rebounding battle 41-37, but it was at least closer than a lot of the margins have been this season, and against an Atlanta team, it's actually pretty big. I think that's a fairly respectable showing by the Rockets, especially when you consider that down the stretch, they did not play the Twin Tower lineup of Faried and Capella. But because they did that to start the game, then Harden didn't have to attack the glass as hard. He had just 5 rebounds. That might be the one part of the game where he could take some shots on his neck. And ultimately, the Rockets got the win. That's what matters most to James Harden. And even though he had a chance in the last 10 seconds to keep that streak going, he dribbled the clock out. Because to James, all that matters, the Rockets got the win, they improved to 35-25, and now it's on to Wednesday in Charlotte. The points are nice. The win is better. That's why James Harden is the MVP. And even on a night that he was 0 of 10 from 3, again, clearly limited medically, and even on a night that his 30-point streak finally ended at 32 games, the second longest in NBA history, I think from a mental perspective, the maturity that he showed, the fact that he was out there to begin with, knowing that his team needed help, and at this point, after letting so many games get away this year, they couldn't afford to let another one slip, even with Trae Young playing that well, he gutted it out, got you 28 points, and as soon as the game was over, the personal gratification, the glory of keeping that streak going, he was okay letting it go. The Rockets got the win, and at the end of the day, even though it was an off night from Harden, whatever, he's had plenty of great nights. Hopefully he'll get some better rest, be a little bit healthier on Wednesday, and from there the Rockets will go. We'll talk more about the rest of the team as we move forward, but even on an off night from their MVP, to me, James Harden was still the lead story from what we saw about him mentally. It reflects the fact that, yes, he is in the right state of mind, the right place to lead this team at 29 years old. I think to some degree he's still growing into that role. And the man he is this year leading this Rockets team, there have been a lot of issues up and down the roster, but the maturity of James Harden, the leadership, that continues to grow. And even on an off night for him on Monday, the Rockets got the win. And to James Harden, that was the most important thing. And if you're a fan of this basketball team in terms of predictive value down the line, the rest of this season and seasons to come, seeing that out of your leader, out of your MVP, that might be the most gratifying thing of all, even above all the other slightly more efficient individual stat lines tonight. Now, jumping back into Monday evening's show, our recap of the 119-111 win over the Hawks. Houston improves to 35-25. Hawks fall to 20-41. It's just the third time this year the Rockets have been 10 games over 500. That ties their high watermark on the season. We spent much of the first segment discussing James Harden, who scored 28 points, leading Houston in scoring, but it snapped his streak of 30-plus points at 32 games, the second longest in NBA history. And I thought it's noteworthy, number one, to reflect on just how great the streak was, because the Rockets needed him to be that dominant, just to stay afloat and be 10 games over 500, which they are now at the 60-game mark, 35-25. But the other component of it, as we move our way into segments two and segment three of our usual 3 points recap, is the fact that it was okay for Harden's streak to end this way because he finally had the help. It's the lack of help that prompted the need for this crazy run in the first place. And not to say the Rockets don't need Harden anymore. Of course, they need him to be better than 0 of 10 from 3. And hopefully, as the games progress, as he gets more time off from that awkward hit he took in practice last Wednesday, we finally know what prompted that sore neck, he'll continue to get better. But tonight, he wasn't all the way there. I don't know that the Rockets could have won this game without him. I don't want to say that they were better off if he had sat, because 28 points, even if it comes on relatively high volume, 21 shot attempts, at the same time, over the balance of 82 games, someone needs to do the heavy lifting. Chris Paul, at age 33, year 14, asking him to be far and away the focal point the way he was Saturday night in Golden State, 23 points and 17 assists, might be asking his body to break down a bit. But even on lower volume, just 10 field goal attempts for Chris Paul tonight, to see him follow up that game on Saturday night, when he had to expend so much energy, there were a couple of moments against the Warriors in which he had to ask out, combination of the pace of the game and I think also the higher usage rate. And then 2 nights later to follow up that brilliant game in Golden State with 20 points, 8 assists to just 1 turnover, 6 rebounds in 35 minutes, 3 of 8 from 3, that's nearly 40%, 7 of 7 from the free throw line, plus 14, which is the best of anyone in the Rockets' starting lineup by far, yeah, that shows you that Chris is feeling pretty damn good. And that's one of the only things I worried about after Saturday. Clearly, the Warriors game, and we talked about that on the postgame show, showed you his upside. What you want to know with a guy at his age and stature and with his injury history is how does he respond? Is there an emptying the tank effect in the coming games? That was absolutely not the case on Monday night, when Paul overall was by far Houston's most valuable player. Now, he only shot 10 times, some of it because Harden was back, and maybe he didn't have quite the legs that he did on Saturday. But the point is, when he shot the ball, he was effective. And when he drew attention from the Hawks, which clearly the scouting reports have shifted towards CP3 more as he has proved his health since coming back in late January, 8 assists to just 1 turnover. D'Antoni said that it would take him about 5 to 10 games to get fully back. Well, now, following up that great game Saturday with another one, to me, that is a really encouraging sign, because after Saturday, it was obvious that Chris Paul still had the elite gene in him. The question was how often he could call on that, and if, on the occasions that he was required to do so, i.e. the Rockets needed that to win a given game, if that could continue into the following games, or if it would take something out of his reserve stockpile. So to see him bounce back just 48 hours later with a game this efficient, in which, in my opinion, he was by far the best Rocket on the court. And by the way, he played 35 minutes, one of the more interesting and entertaining segments of the game. With about 6 minutes left, he went out to rest for about 2 minutes, and it was a close game. It was in the balance, and Austin Rivers stayed in, and Chris looked agitated. Now, Austin Rivers had some value in this game. He played 20 minutes, but there was a reason why he was defending Trae Young for key stretches of the fourth quarter when Young was just going crazy. And no, it wasn't just lethargic Rockets defense tonight. Even though the Hawks aren't a great team, when you have a guy that scores 36 points and makes 8 threes, many of them from beyond 30 feet, I don't care who you're playing, that team is going to be tough to beat on that night. And Rivers, his on-ball defense, I know his flaws away from the ball, he needs to start shooting the ball much better. He was a 38% shooter from distance last year. This year, he's at 32%. He can and should be much better than that. But his on-ball defense, Chris Paul is age 33. James Harden is largely a post defender. Eric Gordon can be at times, but now he's 30. He's at the quickest laterally. And PJ Tucker, he can pick up guards on occasion, but over the balance of a game, he's best suited for the Kevin Durant, LeBron James types. At 6'6" and 33 years old, PJ Tucker is that going to guard the shifty types, the Steph Currys, Russell Westbrooks, and at least tonight, you can throw Trae Young into that mix. The Rockets needed some on-ball defense. They went to Austin Rivers, and part of the reason that Chris Paul went out, the Rockets, they're trying to cap his minutes. The point is, he still got to 35, and Chris Paul was wanting more, because that's what the Rockets needed to win the game. Atlanta was more challenging than their record would seem to indicate. And the fact that Chris Paul was fighting going out, even on a night that, on age 33, his 14th season, that he had 35 minutes, yeah, that shows you that he's feeling pretty damn good. Not just from the standpoint of the ball going in the bucket and having 8 assists to 1 turnover, but also his health. And coming off that game in Golden State, that's the best thing that you could hope for. You saw Saturday night that the elite stuff, that's still in his bag. The question is, how consistent can he be? And when he takes out that tool to give you what he gave you Saturday night, does that take anything out of him going forward? Because that, of course, can reflect the level of consistency you can expect in the playoffs. Well, tonight he showed you Chris Paul, age 33, year 14. No, health isn't a given, but when he's healthy, and he is now, he's going to be just fine, even on an every night basis. Now, will he play both ends with back-to-back Wednesday in Charlotte and Thursday at home against Miami? That remains to be seen. Mike D'Antoni didn't commit to it before the game, but he also didn't rule it out, which I think tells you the fact they're even open to it after what happened the last back-to-back in December, the second half of which was when he pulled his hamstring for the second time, although it should be noted he went into it with a weak hamstring to begin with. So now that he's presumably fully healthy, it's a bit different this time. But still, considering what happened the last time, that he's 33 years old, the fact that the Rockets have not even ruled it out is telling in and of itself of how well Chris Paul is feeling. And they said to some degree it would be up to Chris to make the decision. So the fact that it's even an option, and then to see Chris shoot 50% from the field, plus 14, 8 assists to 1 turnover, yeah, if there was any lingering doubt that Saturday might be a one-off, he extinguished that tonight. And for the reasons we outlined in Saturday's show, I won't go too deeply into it again. But for the Rockets to be at their best in the playoffs and have a chance at contending, it can't be just James Harden. They are going to need, at times, Chris Paul to be the guy that lands the plane, especially at key inflection points in the game or perhaps in the fourth quarter. And I thought at various points tonight, he was the guy that the Rockets played their best when the offense ran through him. So if there were any lingering concerns that Saturday might take too much out of his tank, in my opinion, that after clearly, you know, the lead storyline, for better or for worse, Harden led the team in scoring, but the streak ended. He showed some maturity in letting it end without forcing the issue, yada, yada. Clearly, that's the head storyline. But if that's 1A, 1B is that Chris Paul, by the way, he didn't lead the team in scoring, but he backed up what was a brilliant performance on Saturday night with another really, really good one that showed you, yeah, even at age 33 and you're 14, he is still that guy. Playoff CP3, point guard, that guy still lives. Final thoughts as we break down the 119-111 win the Rockets had over the Hawks on Monday night in our Tuesday show right here at Locked On Rockets. We spent much of the first two segments discussing the two leading scorers for the Rockets, James Harden, 28 points. His 30-plus point streak ends at 32 games, second longest in NBA history. But the Rockets still won the game by 8 because he was flanked by Chris Paul, who had 20 points on 50% shooting, also 8 assists to just 1 turnover and 6 boards in his 35 minutes. But another reason the Rockets were able to win, despite Harden not scoring 30, they had a lot of help throughout the roster. I mentioned earlier, Eric Gordon, a team-best plus 18, 16 points in 32 minutes off the bench. Also had 3 assists, 2 steals. I thought he played with a lot of energy, got out and transitioned more. Also, salute to Eric for not complaining and seamlessly transitioning back into a bench role. It remains to be seen whether that's permanent, but the Rockets clearly want to experiment with the Twin Tower lineup of Fareed and Capella with a slightly larger small forward in the case of P.J. Tucker. They're obviously not going to remove Tucker from the starting lineup because of his defense. And clearly James Harden, now that he's back, is going to go back to his starting shooting guard spot. So that makes Eric Gordon, who had been your starting three, the odd man out, going back to the bench role, which he's been largely since coming to the Rockets in July 2016. And even though the Rockets had largely been winning with Eric Gordon in the starting lineup, kudos to him for going back to the bench and not sulking with his effort at all. He still played 32 minutes. Starting or coming off the bench, he plays around the same amount, and not all guys are willing to have that level of humility that even if they don't have their name called out in the PA introductions by Matt Thomas, that they're still going to give you the same level of effort. So I think that's nice to see from Eric, that he has that level of humility and maturity. But the other interesting takeaway is that the Rockets did, after just 2 games of experimenting with Fareed and Capella, and just one of those as the starting lineup, really throwing Golden State a curveball just 90 minutes before, once the Rockets officially announced that Harden wouldn't play, well, they made the switch semi-permanently. Not really permanently in the case that they can go back to the old one at any time, but to me, it was interesting because clearly the Rockets have been a bad defensive team all year long, and the most consistent issue, as we have discussed a lot, has been the fact that they are not a good rebounding team. So this is the last card after the trade deadline passed, and they did get Iman Shumpert, who had 5 points tonight, 2 of 5 shooting, but he's coming off a knee injury. It's also just his 4th game, so I think expectations need to be a little bit guarded with him for the time being. So other than trade deadline upgrades, and that's largely come and gone, maybe they can get Daniel House Jr. back. But the last card the Rockets have to play, now that there are no major upgrades elsewhere, is starting more of a traditional look up front. And even if they're not as good on the perimeter defensively, if you can fix the rebounding, then who knows? Maybe overall the net effect is for the better. And the Rockets are not opposed to making late season shifts. It wasn't until late February after the All-Star break last year that they went to P.J. Tucker as the permanent starter at the 4 over Ryan Anderson. So maybe they're trying this again. I don't think they're nearly as committed to it this time as they were then. I think to some degree the reason the Rockets made this shift tonight is because they felt they had a bigger margin of error, the Hawks not being a good team. I said after Saturday's game, I would have expected a few more games for the Rockets considered a starting lineup shift, but I think I actually misread the situation, because next week the schedule gets really tough. Boston, Toronto, Philadelphia, to where you might not be able to afford a bad start to the game, or a half. And the Rockets really didn't start the halves poorly. They actually won the first quarter 39-28. So even though they let a team like the Hawks that aren't that good hang around, again, I don't necessarily think it was, say, a repeat of the New Orleans game where they didn't have energy. There were some extenuating circumstances, the Rockets working in some new lineups, some new pieces, also Trae Young just going absolutely nuts. But as far as the Fareed-Capella pairing, I would say the results were mixed, and the reason they did it was that even if there were mixed results, this was the kind of game where the margin of error against a bad team was enough for the Rockets to sustain it. And perhaps now that you work out some of the rust in a game like this, then perhaps when the schedule does get tougher next week, and even starting Wednesday, Charlotte and Miami, they're middling Eastern Conference teams. They're better than the 20-41 Hawks. Perhaps Fareed and Capella are better in sync. Because I think what happened the first two games, because really we didn't even know until Thursday that they were even looking at Fried as a backup four option, let alone a starting four. And to some degree, I think it caught the Lakers and Warriors by surprise. Well, in the NBA, teams study tape religiously, and now you're going to see teams adjust to the adjustments. And I also think the Hawks, having a lot of length and athleticism, they're very bouncy, much more athletic than the Warriors are, that also makes it a tougher matchup. So the spacing, even though Fried did make a three, he's clearly not going to command the same space as P.J. Tucker, the starting four for most of this year, or Ryan Anderson, going back to the first year and a half, the starting four of the Mike D'Antoni era in Houston. So there are adjustments to make. The spacing is not going to be the same when those two are out there. And also the high-low game, the lobs we saw from Fried to Capella and vice versa, teams are going to get used to that because they're not used to defending both a power forward and a center that can finish to that degree. Well, there's going to be tape, and teams will adjust. And now it's up to the Rockets to adjust to those adjustments. And over time, they may be able to. But for now, the best thing they can do, if they're going to give this a try, and I do think the upside is worthwhile, because if they can fix the rebounding issues, then maybe that gives them a chance to be better than bottom five in the league on defense, which they've been all year long. Really, it's one of the last internal cards they have to play. Then it's worth it. But it's not like it's going to come without bumps. On the defensive end, yeah, you're bigger. But we know Clint Capella is not the same defending on the perimeter as he was a year ago in the Rockets' switching scheme. Kenneth Fareed is also not an asset. So even though the Rockets have more length to recover, that's part of why I think Fareed's better with Capella than he is at the five, although there's still some time that Fareed is the five. You're just kind of managing those matchups a bit more. Nene was out tonight. Perhaps that was by design, with the Hawks being a little more athletic and springy than the Warriors with DeMarcus Cousins. Regardless, though, you can mitigate Fareed's deficiencies a bit more with Capella at the five, but the flip side to that is that, well, you have two defenders instead of just one that don't really move well on the perimeter in a switching scheme, so you can get blown by more. Now, perhaps you can overcome it because you do have more length to contest at the rim, and you do have better rebounding. So even if you only have three guys that can really stop in the perimeter as opposed to four, then who knows? Maybe the better rebounding and size can offset that. I also think James Harden, who's more of a post defender but not really a perimeter guy, having him out there with Fareed and Capella, there's a growing pain to that as well, because the first Fareed and Capella game on Saturday was with Harden out. And Harden, while he can be a good defender, he's somewhat limited in certain roles and spots with which you can use him. You're not going to put him on the perimeter and expect James Harden to have a ton of success. It's just not his game, and it's also not fair to him from a usage perspective based on what they ask him to do on offense. So the point is, Fareed and Capella, I'd say the results were mixed. Again, the Rockets only lost the rebounding battle to a much longer, younger, more athletic Atlanta team, 41-37. That's competitive. But I would say overall, it didn't work as well as it did on Saturday night, clearly. Fareed had 13-10. Capella had 12-8. Fareed played 26 minutes, Capella 34, but they were staggered a lot more. You didn't see them play together as much, and really not much at all after the first few minutes of the second half when D'Antoni, seeing the Hawks still hang around nearly level after about the first 3 minutes or so of the second half, felt he had to go smaller because the Rockets have a lot more experience with that. And I think as we move along, it's tough to make a shift this late in the year, especially a stylistic one like this, with the Rockets over the years of really all of Mike D'Antoni ball coming to depend on a four with floor spacing. That's all we've heard. Going back to Ryan Anderson in the inaugural days of Mike D'Antoni, how much value there was in not just a three-point shooter, but a guy who could space the floor to 27, 30 feet. Kenneth Fareed is not that guy. Now, he is a better rebounder. He's more athletic, obviously. He can attack the rim off the dribble. There are things that he can do, but it is a big stylistic shift. So even though the Rockets caught teams by surprise, the Lakers, the Warriors in the early going, well, now that there's tape, the other teams adjust to the Rockets' adjustment. And now we get to see, to keep the cliche going, if the Rockets can adjust back. Maybe they can, but it's going to be a back-and-forth process. And the best thing the Rockets can do is just pile up wins in the interim. And in my opinion, that's why they made the shift now. Because at this point, is it an experiment? Sure it is. I don't think they're married to it. And tonight, I wouldn't say it was failed. They won the game, and it's not like there were no positives. Again, they won the first quarter 39-28. I thought that went well, and that kind of put the Rockets out on the right foot for the game. If you were trailing in this game, who knows, maybe you do hit the panic button a little bit earlier. But the point is, it's not going to be, when you make a shift that drastic to your style, something that just flows seamlessly from the outset. Because it's not just those two players, it's also the other three players on the court, where they are defensively. We mentioned earlier, how does it mesh with James Harden, who's not really a perimeter defender, and also Chris Paul at age 33. He has some deficiencies. He's a good team defender, not necessarily a one-on-one at all times. On the offensive end, Chris Paul, James Harden, when they drive, Fareed, while he commands some respect, it's not like having PJ Tucker or Ryan Anderson or any a small ball four like you have at times in this system who defenders truly have to respect out to 25 feet. It's not the same with Fareed. So the spacing is different. It's not just Fareed and Capella playing together. It's also how it affects everybody else. So all you can do is try it for a few games. I think if you make the switch with the Rockets did, it's worthwhile because the rebounding issues, and I'm intrigued to see how it works out. But I wouldn't get too high or low based on one night. I think you have to watch it for a few games, monitor, and hopefully they get better. It's something, now you're seeing how teams adjust to that, and now we see if the Rockets, with the benefits of their own adjustments and also just getting better with chemistry, ultimately have the ability to punch back. That'll be the story to watch starting Wednesday in Charlotte. For now, though, I think we're seeing why the Rockets made the shift tonight, because even though it wasn't a disaster, but it also wasn't great, the Rockets won the game anyway. That's why they did it, because against Atlanta, they had a bit bigger of a margin of error. They get the win, they improve to 10 games over 500, and now they're on to Charlotte, and hopefully they get Wednesday. They have an opportunity, at least, to get to 11 games over 500 for the first time this season. So until then, this is where we'll wrap it. As always, I appreciate you guys so much for tuning in, and if you want more content before our next show in a couple of days, the best place to get it, of course, is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also, don't forget our Locked On NBA Net handle. That's our curated feed. Twitter and Instagram experts across our wonderful Locked On Podcast Network covering their teams just like I do here in Houston. So if you want some outside perspective, that's a place to get it. Also, email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, don't hesitate to hit me up. Also, lockedonrockets.com, Facebook.com/lockedonrockets. Those are ways you can access our prior content or other ways that you can get in touch with me to ask questions about the team, inquire about advertising, yada, yada. And even if you can't advertise yourself, then why not subscribe? iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, so on and so forth. We're on all of those platforms because of the collective strength of our network. So even if you can't advertise yourself, subscribe and leave 5-star reviews. That's how you'll get the benefit of episodes delivered right to you even before I post them on Twitter. And beyond that, by leaving your 5-star review and subscribing, that's how we can look attractive to other advertisers and keep the business model rolling as the only regular podcast, daily that is, covering Houston Rockets basketball. Once again, the happy final from Toyota Center on Monday evening. Rockets 119, Hawks 111. The streak ends for James Harden, 30-plus points, that is, at 32 games, the second longest in NBA history. Scores just 28, even with the home crowd egging him on to try and get to 30 points for the 33rd consecutive time. He dribbled the clock out because the Rockets had the 119-111 win, pushing them to 10 games over 500, which ties their season high water mark. So on that note, this is where we'll leave it for tonight. But please come back soon for more episodes. There is a back-to-back coming up in a couple of days, Wednesday in Charlotte, Thursday at home against Miami. Whatever happens, we'll have you covered right here at Locked On Rockets, because that's what we do here, the only daily home for podcast coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.